Welcome to each of you. As you well know, this is Robert, and this is the day and the time and the opportunity for our July Parkinson's Recovery Support Group gathering, a gathering of individuals from across the globe who are dedicated to finding solutions to whatever symptoms they might currently be experiencing. As is the custom of our support group sessions, I'm going to offer you a preview of what I've been doing here at Parkinson's Recovery over the last month. I'll then respond to some of the questions, or I should say all of the questions that were submitted in advance, and then we'll check in with each of you to just get reports of what's up. As a reminder, if you all of a sudden hear me go silent, it's just that I've been disconnected, and I'll be calling back in. You'll hear me connect back in after probably a minute or two. So just hang in there. We're just having some technical challenges with our teleseminar system, and that may happen to you. If it does, you do the same thing. You just call back in or connect back in through your computer. In terms of activities for Parkinson's recovery, I've got a report of something you might have already heard, but if you haven't, let me suggest that you take about an hour out of your day today or tomorrow and listen to this interview with Fred Phillips on my radio show. It aired July the 19th, 2017 of this month. And, of course, the show is easily accessible on the radio show page here on the member website. And as you know, there are 12 different pages on our membership, and so the radio show page is one of those 12 pages. I have also, in order to be able to give you some more motivation to listen to that interview if you haven't already, Fred has a 10-step program that he has developed that has helped him reverse his own symptoms. He also has offered some insights during the interview into how he gets immediate relief from a variety of his own symptoms. His solutions, I might say, for the following issues, I think are novel and profound. I've been interviewing people for 12 years now, and I've not heard these solutions, but they are simple, they're free, they only take a few seconds or a minute to do, and they obviously work for him. So I think it's something that you could try as well. If you happen to have issues with freezing or standing up or shuffling when you walk or simply slowness of movement or leg cramps, so go to the radio show page here on the member websites and listen to that interview. Again, it's about 50 minutes long and well worth spending 50 minutes of your life listening to Fred talk about his discoveries regarding what helps him get profound relief from his own Parkinson's symptoms. Now, I've spent quite a bit of the month preparing the Jumpstart to Recovery course curriculum. The course enrollments are closed, but for those of you who've already enrolled, just a heads up, the first class will start tomorrow, Tuesday, August the 1st at 12 noon Pacific time. That will be one of 8 live classes that we will be offering to help individuals get a jump start on figuring out the cause or causes of their symptoms. And once those are ascertained, to identify therapies that can and will address those causes. I've also done something interesting that I've actually never done before. I learned how to make trailers, little 1 or 2 minute videos that describe why some of my work, some of my books, or some of my programs would be particularly useful. You'll find posted on What's Up from Robert on here on the member websites. One of the videos is titled A Leading Resource on Natural Therapies for Parkinson's Disease, and down a bit on the page, the other video is called Can Parkinson's Be Reversed? And I just encourage you to watch both of those videos. I really enjoyed a great deal creating those. And I also have to tell you all that I am continuing to work on spreading the word that we have so many free resources through Parkinson's Recovery for individuals. There are 225 interviews that I have conducted on the radio show. And as you well know, if you've spent any time listening to the radio shows, either here on the member websites or even on the direct Blog Talk Radio website for Parkinson's Recovery, you're well aware that these interviews are spectacular. I've interviewed healthcare professionals, all the really movers and shakers out there of people who have figured out ways to get relief from symptoms associated with a diagnosis of Parkinson's disease using natural methods and approaches. 70 of those interviews are with individuals who have been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and they tell their stories about how they figured out what was causing their issues and what they did about addressing them. So it's a spectacular resource, and I really do want more and more people to become aware that that resource is available. So I'm doing these little short videos, putting them up on YouTube, and spreading the word to the universe, to people who live in all countries, that this is a resource that is available that can provide information on therapies that are useful, on factors that cause the symptoms, and perhaps best of all, it's a motivation for people to realize that this particular condition certainly is not degenerative. There are lots of different steps that people can take that will provide sustained relief from those symptoms. And of course, when you see these videos on YouTube, feel free to like them or post them on your Facebook page. I need a little help of being able to spread the good word. Now, also, as just a preview of some of the kinds of work that I've done for you over the month, as you, I think most of you are well aware, on the member website, there's a long meditation website and there is a short meditation website. And the meditations over the last month have had the following topics. On July 10th, I posted Blanket of Warmth, and the theme was how to keep your neurons at a perfect temperature. July the 17th, it was all about desensitization to stress. And again, there's a long meditation, 30 minutes, sometimes 25, sometimes 35. And then there's a companion set of five, not always every week, but five shorter meditations. We call them short meditations that are only anywhere from 2 minutes to 5 minutes that build on the longer meditation for the week. July 24th, the focus was Manifest Recovery. That one is still posted. You'll be able to see that if you land there on the long meditation website. And then today I just posted a set of meditations that are entitled Powerlessness. And as you might guess, next week we're going to post a whole series of meditations that are basically titled Powerfulness. In other words, the opposite of powerlessness. On July 3rd, at the very first of the month, because it was Independence Day, at least for those of us who live in the United States, I had a whole set of meditations on clarifying intentions for healing. So becoming independent, so to speak, was the theme of those meditations. So if you haven't already done so, I just want to encourage each of you to spend some more time on the member websites, to listen to that long meditation every week, and the short meditations every day. I think you'll find they are truly motivating and inspirational. Let me now move to some of the questions, if I should say perhaps more accurately, all the questions that were submitted, and make whatever comments that I might have to offer to you. This one comes from Bob. I have tremors in both feet. The left foot has worse tremors than the right. I have had the tremors for the last 5 years. Until recently, it was annoying, but not painful. Now, there is pain in the muscles that lie just left of my shin bone. These are the extensor muscles that control the toes. The source of the problem may be a trapped nerve in the lumbar spine. However, when I'm on with sentiment, the pain goes away. Is this common? And of course, the answer would be from me, yes. I've heard reports that are similar to that. Could the pain be due to rigidity? And I'm just being introduced to rigidity pain for the first time. My response to you, Bobby, is yes. It definitely sounds like there's a rigidity issue here. The pain feels like someone is jabbing a hot poker into the side of my calf muscles. He also asked, as a companion question, I attended one of your conferences in Santa Fe a few years ago. Are you still putting on the conferences? Well, Bob, those have basically put on hold. My truth in telling is I still have some payments that I am owed to some of the presenters since I subsidize most of the cost. So I'm not about to start another conference until I can pay for the conference that I have already held. This one was in 2013. So I'm ashamed and embarrassed to report that there are about six presenters that I still owe money to. Now, I had to ask Bob a qualifying question to be able to get some insights on providing an informed answer. And I asked him exactly, could he tell me where this originated, the pain? And he said it was the left leg only in his answer. The muscles to the left outside of the shin bone. And he points out these are the muscles that control the extensors of toes on my left foot. Gratefully, Bob says the pain is easing up now. I do think I had a nerve pinch up near the waist and pelvis, possibly spine. So the reason I ask for the specific location of the pain for all of those of you who are listening is I have discovered that one of the wonderful insights that we can get is knowing the origination of a source of a symptom. And the reason is if we know the source of the originating symptom, we can look at these charts that show the energy meridians in the body. And if we look at where the source point is of those meridians, oftentimes it tells us the organ in the body that is the compromised organ. And when I read, Bob, your question, I thought to myself, okay, rigidity sounds like that probably is the issue. And I know from my research that if rigidity in the body is an issue, it is turns out to be a organ issue, not an issue for any aberration in the spine. Though, in fact, that might have been the case for you. It's a gallbladder issue. So I looked in my chart of meridians, and lo and behold, when I look at the meridian lines for the gallbladder, what I see is the source point for the gallbladder meridian is right on the left side of the foot, and it goes right up the left shin bone. I mean, it's right next to the left shin bone. And there's also a meridian that goes down the right foot as well, because apparently you've had issues on both the left and the right over time. So I hope the issue has been resolved for you, Bob, and that it's no longer problematic. But if not, then another place to look is the possibility that your gallbladder may be compromised. And why might that be the case? Well, there could be some infections present. It could be there's some heavy metals or pesticides or toxins present. And so the gallbladder may need a little loving attention. So I would suspect the organ that is the suspicious organ that may be causing the issue is the gallbladder. And another little tip that I want to give to everybody is when we have pain in a particular part of our body, it's common to think that that's the source of the pain. So if it's, for example, in the lower spine, the idea is, oh, that's the reason why I've got the pain. It's the lower spine. Usually, as it turns out, that's not the actual source. The source is somewhere else in the body, sometimes far distant from that. People who are body workers learn very quickly that if a client comes in and points to a right knee as the source of their problem, they know that's not the originating source. It's probably up in the hip. Or if a person has frozen shoulder, the immediate guess that a body worker will give is, well, it has nothing to do with the local shoulder itself. It has to do with the stomach. And for some reason, the stomach may have a stomach virus or stomach flu or food poisoning or some kind of noxious kind of materials there in that part of the body. So that's my comment for you, Bob, in terms of the question that you raised. You also made a comment that I want everybody to hear. I am on a retreat now in New Mexico with Ming Tong. Now, Ming Tong has been a guest on my radio show several times. He's a master Qigong teacher and instructor and very inspirational. He was one of the presenters at the Parkinson's Recovery Summit in Santa Fe. Qigong bought an amazing multi-acre resort that has gone into foreclosure. Well, good for him. There are 25 people in the course, and probably 10 of us have Parkinson's. And then Bob goes on to say that some have made good progress in reducing medications and symptoms. So Ming Tong, there's a video of Ming Tong's presentation that it's available for sale at a very small cost. So you can see Ming Tong giving his own presentation at the Parkinson's Recovery Summit. You can also go on to the radio show page, and if you'll click on Qigong and the category listing, you'll find that the listing of my interviews with Ming Tong will also come up, and so you can listen directly to my interviews with him. Now, the next question comes from Bernie, and the question is following. Is the ketogenic diet, that is, say, 70% good fats and, say, 25% protein and, say, 5% carbohydrates, is recommended for people with Parkinson's symptoms? One report of five people who did the ketogenic diet for 28 days showed measurable reductions in symptoms of Parkinson's for each person. It's also good for weight loss. So, Bernie, my wonderful response to you is indeed yes. And this has been researched by Richard Veech, V-E-E-C-H, at the National Institute of Health in Washington, D.C., for, I'd say, 20 years. I've attempted to recruit Dr. Veech to be an interviewee on the Parkinson's Recovery Radio Show with no luck. He just doesn't do interviews. He's a researcher. But Dr. Veech did recommend that I contact a person who has volunteered up at NIH who lives in Washington, D.C., who is one of the individuals that they are using to experiment with the ketogenic diet. His name is Bill Curtis. I've also recruited Bill to be a guest on the show, but we've not had any success yet. We've been working for a couple of years. Bill really wanted to have more positive results on his own program of recovery to talk about during the interview. So hopefully I'll be able to get Bill on the radio show here over the coming months. Now, Bill, everybody needs to know, is taking a ketogenic cocktail. He calls it an AM coffee drink that relieves symptoms every day. And he didn't invent this. He actually got this from Dr. Veech and his colleagues. And so what you can do is go on to Bill Curtis's website, and at the very top, he has his recipe for basically a very concentrated fat kind of a coffee drink. Now, his website, I'll say it and then I'll spell it, is ketonesforparkinsons.com. So the word ketones, K-E-T-O-N-E-S, and then the word for, F-O-R, and then the word Parkinson's, P-A-R-K-I-N-S-O-N-S.com. Now, for those of you who like sweet kinds of things and fatty kinds of things, as I do, it's quite a yummy drink. It's got coconut oil. It's got whipped cream, if I recall. It's got butter. It's really a high-fat kind of a drink. And, of course, it's got coffee as well. So Dr. Veech has done a number of studies and continues to do studies. And, yes, they do find that when you facilitate the production of ketones in the body, that Parkinson's symptoms are reduced. So as just a short explanation, what are ketones? That, in a way, is provides the same function as sugar does in the body. So the brain needs sugar to function. And one of the ways to actually get that sugar is through ketones. And the body makes ketones when we eat a lot of fat. In other words, that's why coconut oil is recommended for Parkinson's. It's really the very same reason, is because when you have coconut oil in your diet and you're perhaps rubbing coconut oil on your skin in the morning after taking a shower or a bath every day, you're giving yourself a lot of good fat that then results in the production of ketones. Now, another way that you can actually produce ketones naturally is to go onto a fast. In other words, not eat anything for, let's say, a day or even the morning and the afternoon, and not eat until the evening. I don't want to say I'm recommending that to anybody, but I just want you to know that you may experiment with this a little bit, talk with your doctor about the advisability, but it may be that reducing your intake of food and going on a little brief fast here and there may actually reduce your symptoms as well. So, Bernie, my good news for you is that, yes, the ketogenic diet, in terms of Dr. Veach's research, shows that it does offer sustained relief from symptoms. Of course, it's a symptomatic treatment. Now, there are also in NIH, I discovered, they really would like to be able to make and manufacture a concentrated form of ketones. Now, it's possible they can do it commercially. The difficulty is that it is much, much too expensive. So it commercially is not a viable alternative yet. But I guess at NIH, that's one of their major thrusts in terms of their research agenda. They continue to look and see if they can find a way to produce ketones directly rather than being able to facilitate the production of ketones through this ketogenic diet, which is a high-fat diet. And incidentally, this is a little off the subject of Parkinson's symptoms, but the ketogenic diet is one that is strongly recommended for persons who have epilepsy. It really does offer a profound relief from seizures. So it has many neurological implications, and it's something that I think you might want to look into a little bit further. And I have a question here from Bernadette. You don't happen to have anyone on from Oz by the name of Alice Moore, do you? I know it's a long shot, but I have good reason for asking. The world is an ever-shrinking place. Well, Bernadette, I don't know anyone by the name of Alice Moore. What a wonderful name, though. It certainly resonates. But no, I don't is my answer, unfortunately. And you also, Bernadette, I think you might have submitted a question earlier, but I don't see that I printed it out here in front of me. So if I need to respond to that, please let me know, and we'll be sure, if you have another question, I'll be sure and do that for you. All right, so that's my brief preview of what's been up here at Parkinson's Recovery, the kinds of things that we're doing, the kind of recommendations that I wanted to make for how you might focus some of your attention over the coming month. And what I wanted to now do is to connect in with those of you who called in and to say, hello, how are you? See what's up. See if, in fact, you might have anything to report about what might be helping or what might not be helping, any recommendations or thoughts or reflections or any topics that you'd like to discuss. I don't have any questions here that have been submitted that I need to pitch for everyone, but if you have anything like that, please feel free to pitch that in, and I'll just open up the mic to everyone here who is connected in. So just imagine that we are all gathered together in person, although you are from all over the states and elsewhere. Just imagine that we've all flown in to Seattle, Washington. We're all sitting in a wonderful room with open windows and a delightful temperature with birds chirping all about, and we're looking at each other's faces. And so we just want to check in with everybody, say hello. And by the way, as is the custom in our support group meetings, if you're just here to listen and, you know, listen to what other people have to say or what they're doing, certainly there's no need or requirement for anybody to say anything. So it's just maybe to say hi and just let me know that you're here to listen rather than to ask a question or offer some information. So let me first check in here with Dan from Deerfield Beach, Florida. Hello, Dan. Can you hear me? Just opening up to see if I can connect in with Daniel Julio from Deerfield Beach, Florida. Hello, are you there? Can you hear me? I hear a little noise at your end, so just want to say hi. Well, let me just cut you off here since we don't hear back from you. I'll check back in and see if we can't connect in and have a little discussion if you'd like to do that. So the next person I wanted to connect in with is Karen Taylor. Karen from Tennessee.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, pretty well, thanks. It's getting a little hot in Washington, which is a little unusual, but doing well, thank you. So what's up with you?
Oh, I'm just going through your course online and looking at the different things you were talking about, emotional trauma, toxins in our environment. So that's what I've been working on in my life.
Oh, good. Good. And so that's been useful or helpful or a way of focusing your program?
Yes. It's been helpful.
Great.
I'm dealing with low back pain, so I didn't know if you were just talking about that it could be a body part, not actually your back, but it could be something else.
Right. So when you say low back, are you talking about the sacrum? The little bone at the very bottom, or the coccyx, or is it more in the...
probably around my hip area.
Is it the right hip or the left hip?
It goes across.
Oh, it goes across. Well, the kind of the response that I gave to Bob earlier is if there's a localized source of the pain, we can often look at the meridians and see what meridian locks in to that particular source of the pain, and then we trace it back to see what the organ, responsible organ is. And there's a little lecture.
Where would I find that information?
Oh, say again?
On the meridians, where would I find that?
There's a lecture in the course that I've got that explains how you go about tracing the meridians. If you do a search on Google, you can just say meridians, meridian charts. And these are, you'll get lots and lots of different charts to use. I don't use those because some of them are a bit sketchy. The book that I find is really, really useful is titled The Joy of Feeling. And it's actually an acupressure book. And the name of the author is Teeguarden, Teeguarden. So it's titled The Joy of Feeling, Feeling. I think you could probably pretty sure get it at your library and just check it out. And it's got these wonderful descriptions of lines and source points, and that gives you a great clue about what might be the compromising organ. Another possibility for you on the online course, there's also a lecture on unwinding. A lot of the stress that we experience is actually trapped in the hips. There are two places in the body where the tension and the traumas tend to be stored and trapped, and that's in the hip and also in the neck, the back of the neck. And so it's possible that one of the wonderful therapies that you can do for yourself is to begin unwinding your hips. And again, there's a lecture there that I've got that kind of explains how unwinding is done. There's also a form of yoga that is really all about unwinding too. It's called yin, Y-I-N, yoga. And a lot of people think of yoga as, you know, putting your body into these very challenging positions that some of us can't get into and some of us can. But yin yoga more is it's putting you into a particular position, and you literally hold that position for as long as it's 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. You hold it because what's happening is the tension there, the traumas are being released. So it's not about moving from one position to the next and really challenging the muscles in your body. It's more about releases. And so there are several wonderful books on yin yoga. Again, you can get them at the library. And they give all of these positions, pictures of people in certain positions. And you could focus on some of those books on, okay, what would be the yin yoga positions for the release of hips? And begin to put your body into those positions. I know actually one of them that I did just this morning myself was you go down on your knees on the floor and then literally tap your head to the floor. So you're really stretching the lower back. And again, you're not moving your head up and down. You're just literally staying still. I think I was in that position for about 3 minutes. And what you can hear, you can feel the release is happening. So you're not forcing anything. You're not pushing anything. You're really moving in the what is described to be the direction of ease. And that's what allows the muscles to all of a sudden let go, because they're tight now for the reason that there's some kind of traumas that are trapped in there from who knows when.
Okay. Well, so my contractor has some scoliosis.
So I'm
wondering if that has something to do with it too.
It does indeed, and usually scoliosis has a traumatic origin. Could be physical, could be who knows what. And so it may be that one of the things that you can do is really begin to release some of those traumas, whatever they might be. And then the other thing, of course, there's a lot of content in the course of traumas and how you go about releasing traumas. There are all sorts of therapies that facilitate the release of traumas. And we've all been traumatized in our life in one way or another. And what I would really underscore for you is a lot of people that I talk with think of releasing trauma as a mental issue. Somehow you've got to go back and remember something and then let it go. None of this is a mental issue. It's not about thinking at all. It comes from another very different place. And so releasing traumas is really just releasing the emotions that are trapped. So you don't have to make it a challenging mental thing and contort around trying to figure out how you can mentally, you know, let all of this go, because that's not the way it's released. It's really from a place of no words.
Okay.
So you might do the meridian check to see if there's an organ that's compromised. And then, again, I think doing some of the trauma kinds of things and the unwinding, you might find just profound relief from that pain by doing some of the unwinding. Find some positions you can put your body in. Give yourself time. Again, you go into one position and you can stay there for 4 or 5 minutes, even longer. So you might even do something else while you're doing the unwinding. And you're not forcing the body. You're not pushing it. You're literally moving your body. And again, the words that I best know to describe this are the direction of ease. So if you have any resistance at all, you don't want to push your body into that position.
Okay. All right,
well,
I'm glad.
Oh, good. I'm glad you're enjoying the course. That's great news. And thanks so much for connecting.
There's a lot of information.
There is. And I guess when I got done, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is going to probably overwhelm people. And I'm afraid it does for some. It's too much information. But at least it's all there.
Well,
and it can.
You know, it's the time of going through it.
That's exactly right.
And then,
and then actually taking the action when you see something that you're called to pursue. So I know it takes time.
Right. But it's good.
Well,
thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. And thank you again so much for connecting in today to our July support group meeting. Hello, Bill. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Robert.
Hey there. So it's good to hear your voice.
Likewise.
So any reports from you today?
Not really. I'm just trying to stay positive on everything and persevere. I did want to compliment you on your interview with Fred Phillips. That was super useful.
Wasn't that wonderful, Bill? I have to say, he's an amazing man, and he had so many rich insights to offer.
Yeah, I was familiar with his blog from about, I guess I've been following it for maybe a year or so. So I was delighted to see you two got together and some of the things that you talked about, like those little tips and tricks, I don't recall seeing on his blog. Maybe they're there somewhere. But so that was new and very useful.
Oh, I thought so, too. And I had not heard those tips either. So I think he created those himself. How wonderful. I decided what I also need to do is just to extract each tip with each condition and then just put a little small audio up on the blog or the website so that people don't have to listen to the whole interview if they have that particular problem. So that's one of the tasks that I have to attend to here this month.
He just has a really good practical attitude and very positive about his prospects for recovery. So that's always useful to know that there are other people struggling like you are.
Right, right, and figuring it out at their own way and their own pace.
Right, right, and doing it without any medication. He's been, I think he's about 4 or 5 years into it now. So.
That's what he said, yeah, and he just wanted to do it in a different way from most other people.
So I think that's absolutely a new. Of all the interviews you've done, that's the top one for me.
Oh, that's great to hear. I finally hit a home run. Thanks, Bill.
Well, anybody who's listening, you know, if you haven't heard it, it's relatively short. It's under an hour, but it's really, really packed with information.
And for those of you listening, this is what I mentioned at the very beginning here of our session. It's Fred Phillips. And if you go to the radio show page here on the member websites, you'll see that listed at the very top. And what Bill is saying is exactly what I thought. It is just a marvelous interview with very rich insights. I'd be surprised if anybody could listen to that and not come out with some kind of at least one or two several helpful suggestions or hints. So I think it'll be well worth everyone's time to listen.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks so much, Bill, for connecting in today. It's just wonderful to connect with you and hear your voice.
Likewise. Thanks for all you do, Robert.
You're welcome, Bill. You're welcome. It's an honor and a privilege. Hello, Trula. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. So what's up with you?
Well, let's see. What's up? I went to see a physician at the University Hospital, and he was quite good. He did a very thorough exam. What surprised me, though, is for the following week, my symptoms got worse. So I was trying to figure out why. Why was I doing so poorly that week? And I think that seeing any physician feels stressful for me and kind of takes away some of the positive nature I've been, supporting in myself.
Trula, I've heard so many stories from people just like that, where just the visit to the doctor created enormous stress and trauma. Mm-hmm. And you, when you, even when you enter into a clinic or a doctor's office or a hospital, there's this very dark energy all of a sudden you're assaulted with. There's illness, there's sadness, it's very unsettling for everyone to be in those situations. So just the visit, and it's not the person, the doctor themselves, I think it's the whole experience of just going and being there and waiting. I don't think it's unusual at all, because I've heard so many reports like yours that the symptoms got worse. We know that when you're stressed, when you're in that kind of traumatized environment, that the symptoms will get worse. And so it's not a surprise to me that that happened.
Yeah, I have a little trouble with the word trauma and traumatized, so I've reframed it for myself. I say fear-inducing.
Oh, there you go. That's much better. I like that. I should start using that, Trula. That's a great idea.
You know, if you think about each of our separate symptoms and you relate it to just what's in the colloquial language about fear, it's like he was so afraid he was dumbstruck. She was so scared that she trembled all over.
Right.
You know, all the things that happen in our bodies when we're stressed or fear, if you take each one of those individual symptoms that we have with Parkinson's, you know, you can think about each one of them as fear-induced.
Yep.
It's really fascinating to me, and I talking to that doctor, you know, he has his medical point of view, and I pushed back, and I just said, you know, I'm not taking that medication. I'm doing a natural approach, and as long as it's working for me, that's what I'm going to do. So that was that. I would go back and maybe try the medication if it doesn't work, if I'm not doing well with what I'm doing with the natural approach, but I'm doing fine with the natural approach. So.
Oh, great. And he honored that choice, it sounds like.
He did. Even in the report, he said, you know, she's welcome to come back, deal with medication if that's what she wants to do. Otherwise, she's going to try her own thing. So, fine. That's good.
Oh, that is.
The other thing I heard about in your discussion now is that ketones and the gallbladder, and as you know, I've talked about my gallbladder issues before, and what I've done is I've gone to a vegan diet, which is difficult to be on a vegan diet. It's, you know, only vegetables, grains, and nuts, fruits, no animal products whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, I don't have any problem with the gallbladder now.
Really? Oh, my God. That's great.
My gallbladder is so quiet. It's just behaving very well. So that's one thing. The other thing I discovered in the shuffling issue is usually when people shuffle, and I think even with physical therapists, they try to make you change your gait, you know, take larger steps, strike with your heel, lift higher, and so forth. And that all makes good sense, but what I discovered for myself was the origin of that is in my psoas muscles, the iliopsoas and the psoas muscles in my core. And if I concentrate on engaging my core more, my legs automatically seem to want to stretch out more and the shuffling is reduced. So I just focus my attention in a different place in my body. And I've been doing physical therapy to increase core muscles for balance, but I never really thought about really engaging those muscles in terms of lifting my legs differently. But those inner core muscles are connected to movement in your legs. So that was pretty interesting.
That's fascinating. So when you say inner core, would this be like the kind of work that Pilates stresses, those core muscles right in the bottom of the core of the body?
Yes, that's it. Yeah, in the pelvic base area.
Yeah.
Internal muscles, not the external muscles, but the internal ones. If you get a muscle chart, you know, you can see in the gymnasium I go to, they have a muscle chart on the wall, and it shows, you know, a view of the inside muscles. You can see them there and where they connect. So it's pretty interesting.
That sure is. Well, I have heard of a number of people who do Pilates and say that really does help with issues like shuffling.
Mm-hmm. But you have to think about it. It's like you're telling your body to do a different thing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's refocusing attention.
Right.
Well, as I step back and if I look at all the different suggestions that we've heard over the years from physical therapists and other body workers, they all sort of fall under the rubric of refocus your attention. They all do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another one that really sounds like it's a powerful one where you're just refocusing what you're paying attention to. So when people look down and they're focusing on the shuffling itself, it gets worse. But
yeah.
if they'll refocus, it always gets better.
Yeah. I think that's it. It's pretty interesting.
It sure is.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating.
Yeah. So thank you, Robert. I still have my gallbladder.
You decided not to get rid of it.
Well, the last thing you want to do is have your gallbladder removed. So.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I think you do need it.
Yes, I think so too. And the gallbladder is an interesting organ in the sense that it really goes through expansion and contraction. And that's the life force. So none of us can be in expansion all the time. What we have to learn to do is we go out there, we're movers and shakers, we do, and then all of a sudden we've got to pull back and chill out and relax. It's kind of like the waves of the ocean that are always coming out and going in, going out and going in. And so the gallbladder, if it's always in a condition of being taxed, of working, then it gets sick because it just, it gets tired. It just can't do it all the time. And so it's nice to be able to all of a sudden recognize, okay, that's just the life cycle. It's being able to expand and contract, grow and then retreat, move out and then move back, which is how we ultimately get things done in the long run. And so I know a lot of people get their gallbladder removed, but it seems like it is an essential organ to just always remind us of how important it is to honor the life cycle of what it means to be alive.
You know, one of the things that I'm curious about is this research you were talking about, Dr. Beach, and the ketones. And if you have gallbladder trouble, you can't go on a diet like that that's high fat.
That's right. That's exactly right. I hadn't even thought about that, but that's right. That's not going to work.
No, but you could fast, like you said. Fast.
Right. That might be the only way to do it. You couldn't do it with a high-fat diet.
Right.
My goodness. Well, I'm sure your gallbladder is appreciative of what you decided to do. Your gallbladder thanks you, Trula.
Yes.
Well, thanks so much for connecting in and telling us your wonderful insights. We all appreciate them greatly.
Okay. It's nice talking to you all.
Well, same here. So I want to go back and check and see if I can connect with Daniel Julio. Hello, Daniel. Are you there from Deerfield Beach, Florida? Wanted to say hi, connect in. Looks like we're not able to connect for whatever reason. It may be you're on mute at your end, and we're not able to hear you. So let me check here and see if, hello, Vana, is that you?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi there. Well, it's nice to hear your voice. And so what's up with you today?
Well, I had someone come to the front door.
Whoops. Well, maybe we ought to check back with you in a minute, and let me see if I can say hi to Sherry just a minute, and we'll come back to you in just a minute, Ivana. Hello, Sherry, are you there?
This is Sheree. Are you trying to talk to me?
Sheree, yes. Hi, I'm sorry, I mispronounced your name.
Okay.
Sheree, hi. So just wanted to say hello. What's up?
I'm doing very well. I need some guidance as far as my voice, if you can give me some of that to strengthen my voice. And I wanted to know if you have any information about lion's mane mushrooms. Have you come across anything relevant with that?
With relevant with what was it again?
Lion's mane mushrooms.
Mushrooms? Oh, goodness. I don't have any good information on that. My depository of research is a little empty on that. Are you interested in that for something that would suppress symptoms?
Yes, it's supposed to help with brain health and neurotransmission.
Oh.
And it's working very well for some friends of mine. I have a mother who has Alzheimer's, and
she's
become very clear thinking by using them. And I thought, well, I wondered if there was any carryover.
There could very well be. I don't see any reason why you might not want to. Have you tried it? Have you used it yet?
No.
But you're thinking about maybe trying it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, gosh, Cherie, I would just say, why not? I mean, it's all kind of, I think, in terms of individual decision-making, and if your gut instinct tells you that's something to try, I would sure go for it. I don't know what the side effects might be, but chances are they're not too problematic. So you might want to just give it a try and see.
I plan on doing that. I just thought maybe you had had some information on it first.
I don't specifically. No, I don't have any reports from people okay. who've actually used that. In terms of your issues with voice, the
yeah.
one of the kinds of things that I know over and over people tell me makes a difference is to force yourself to speak loudly, as if you're shouting. And you may feel like you're shouting and talking really loudly, but it may be that other people don't feel like you're talking that loud. I know there's a whole program that's about helping with voice, and mostly it's about helping people really speak very, very loudly, you know, just literally shouting out using those vocal cords. Have you ever been a singer?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Do you sing now?
I have about a 6-note range now. Actually, I can sing a little bit. I went through a phase where I could not sing at all, and now I can sing a little.
Oh, you can sing a little. Well, that's the second suggestion I've got for you, Cherie, is since you like to sing and you've sung in the past, start singing. And maybe there's some groups that you could join that, you know, sing regularly, like at least once a week, if not twice a week. Of course, there are some churches that have choirs, so you can join the choir and sing in the choir. But the more that you can sing, the faster your voice will improve. And a third idea I've got for you, and it sounds like you're already improving your voice, doing what you're already doing, but there are probably frequencies that would be very instrumental in helping your voice improve. I would recommend that you call Dr. Suzanne Jonas, J-O-N-A-S. Dr. Jonas is in Tennessee, and she's been on the radio show 2 or 3 times over the last decade and a few years. She basically makes sound therapies for people. And the sound therapies can address all sorts of issues, Parkinson's symptoms, restless legs, depression, you name it. And more recently, I've heard of people I talked with who will call her up and they'll say what their symptom is. And if she doesn't have already a sound CD to address that symptom, she'll actually custom make something for you. Get that. That's pretty cool.
Mm. Yeah.
And her CDs are very inexpensive in my judgment. I mean, these are not kinds of therapies that are long-lasting. I mean, they're not helping you heal from the inside, but they really help with symptomatic issues. And so you might want to just give her a call and explain you want to mm-hmm. strengthen your voice. And does she have any recommendations for CDs that she already has produced that would help with that, or could she possibly actually make a CD for you that would strengthen your voice? And I think
okay.
her website, Cherie, I think is musicmedicine.net, I think is it. But usually the way I find her is I just type in her name, Suzanne, S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, and her last name is Jonas, J as in Jerry, O-N-A-S. And that's usually enough to get the top listing of her website address, but it's something like musicmedicine.net, I think. And she's got all sorts of CDs. She's got CDs for Parkinson's there and for lots of the symptoms associated with Parkinson's. So you might find some other ones that you might be drawn to get. But it's the kind of thing, it's not music, it's basically sounds. And some of them sound like a refrigerator running, quite frankly. But you put headphones on and you listen, and it may be that that would also give your voice a boost.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, thank you for connecting in. And it's good to hear your voice is so much stronger now. That's very exciting, Cherie.
I'm blessed.
Yes, it sounds like you are.
Aren't we all blessed to be at this time in history where we can get some relief?
You know, I feel the same way. I felt that really the last 5 or 6 years now, more so than at the very beginning when I was doing this research. So 12 years ago, I was really struggling to find therapies and ideas out there that would help people. But even the last few years, there are just more and more wonderful options that people can pursue. Wonderful. A lot of them are natural. A lot of them are free. Of course, some of them, there's a cost involved. But, boy, there's just so many wonderful opportunities out there now. So it's a pretty exciting time to be alive.
Yep, really is. Thank you, Robert.
You're very welcome, and thanks again for connecting in today. It's wonderful to hear from you. I want to go to the question and answer panel. For those of you who don't know, you can type in questions or topics you want us to discuss during our session, and this one comes from Vana, and the question is, how can I access the long meditation on stress? Where do I get a copy of The Joy of Feeling? Well, the long meditation on stress was posted on the member website earlier in the month, Vana. So there are other meditations that I also post on stress on the member website. Now, that particular meditation is no longer shown. You might say, but wait a minute, why not? Well, I post a new long meditation every week, and I've discovered that if I leave these long meditations up on the website, it's too much information for people. And so what I try to do is to pare down the information that's available and the support that's available. So as I mentioned earlier, the meditations that are up right now are the meditation on powerlessness that's posted today, and then last week it's manifest recovery. The meditation on stress is actually now no longer live. It's no longer posted. So may that be an invitation to go into those meditations every weekday and also every week. The long meditation is posted every Monday. And listen and see what's there. It's an invitation to go into all the web pages of the member websites and check in. Some of them only are a 15-second visit. Some of them are a little bit longer. But it's a way to renew and revitalize your energies and your motivations. Everything is positive there. So unfortunately, that one is no longer posted. But there will be new meditations that you're going to discover that will also be about stress. And for your information, I'm also developing a little way of describing the 4 techniques that we discovered from research really immediately provide a reduction and a release from stress. So I've been doing an awful lot of research on that the last several months. Deborah and I both went to several excellent presentations from experts on this, researchers, and so we pared it down to 4 very simple kinds of things that you can do. And in terms of reducing stress, I want to also point out that one of the member websites is about a mindfulness challenge of the week. That's also a way to reduce stress when you become mindful. So that's the reason we put that there on the member websites. And you also have a question, Vana, where do I get a copy of Joy of Feeling? That was the book that I just mentioned that has the meridian charts. And I suspect you can get it from your library, Vana, if you'll just go to your library. One of the resources of the libraries that I think a lot of people may not be aware of is if they don't have a copy of that specific book, they will be able to order a copy. It's called an interlibrary loan. And so if they don't have it, just go to your librarian and say, I want to order an interlibrary loan copy of The Joy of Feeling. It's a kind of book that you, if you're not going to plan on doing this on a regular basis, you probably need it for a week or two to just trace some meridians to see what might be up for you. So I'm not sure it's worth purchasing, but it's a book that really would be a wonderful resource to trace down the possible cause of whatever symptoms you might be experiencing. And then the author's name, if you need to do an interlibrary loan search, is Iona, I-O-N-A is the first name, Marsa, M-A-R-S-A-A, and the last name that I think I mentioned a little earlier is Teagarden, T-E-E-G-U-A-R-D-E-N. It's about acupuncture, and this is not the only source of meridian charts. There are many, many other charts. And as I said earlier, if you just go on Google and say meridian charts, you're going to get pages and pages of meridian charts. So there are some resources that you can access immediately. I've tried to use those resources, but the lines are a little bit difficult for me to see on those charts. And so I typically don't use those. I go to this Joy of Feeling book whenever I'm trying to trace down the originating source of a problem for somebody. So that's the book. And I would recommend, you certainly could buy it, I'm sure, from a bookstore. But I would recommend that you just see if you can't get one from your library. It'll be much, much less expensive. So let me check in with, hello, Barbara, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me, Barbara?
Yes, we can hear you. So how are you today?
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, thank you, thank you. And so what's up?
Not much, same old thing. I'm trying to, figure out how to recover from this mold exposure, which gave me the Parkinson's symptoms.
Barbara, I know all about that because you've certainly told me about it, but you might want to just let other people know what happened.
Well, I started getting really, really sick. It was several years ago, and I didn't, I never thought it was my house or anything. Nobody ever said anything to me about that it could be my home. And what happened was I went to a million doctors, as you know, and spent $1 million and got sicker and sicker, and I was paralyzed for several years and didn't want to take the medicine, but finally did take Sinemet. So I'm able to take care of myself, but minorly. I mean, I'm not in great shape. And I went to my immunologist, and she had just gone to an environmental conference, and doctors there said that they were giving their patients this test, this urine test, and 70% of my doctor's patients turned out to have mold exposure, and I was one of them. And she, when the test came back, she said that I had so much mold in my body that there had to be something wrong in my house. So I started calling people to come and check my house for mold because you couldn't see it or smell it, and they found it. So within 2 days when I found out that it was my house, I just abandoned my house and left, and that's the story, that my Parkinson's, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, all of it was because I'm so allergic to mold, and my body does not clear the mycotoxins that come out, that mold secretes, and were in my body from such a tremendous exposure. It's like I was poisoned.
What a story. And in the place where you're living now, do you still have any exposures that are problematic?
Probably, Robert, but I don't know. I mean, I'm living in an assisted living, and so when I moved in, I had somebody come in and check the air, and they said there was no mold in the air. But then when I moved in, within 2 days, I was sick as a dog from the air conditioning, so I had to have somebody come and check the air conditioning, and the air conditioning was filthy. It had dust and God only knows what else. And so I had to seal that air conditioner up. And I got a room air conditioner, one of those freestanding.
Yeah.
So I use that. And, it's very hard to tell if you know, I am going to do some testing on the little apartment I'm in to make sure that there's no mold, because sometimes when you test the air, some of the mold, the mycotoxins from the mold may not be airborne, so I may be exposed to the mold here. I don't know. It's very difficult not to be exposed to mold when you live in Florida, because, you know, that's just part of life. But in my house, when I was in my house, it was a whole house problem, because the mold went from wherever it started. It was in two places, in my kitchen and in my den. And they took the walls down. They're fixing the house now, and, you know, but I'm not going to move back there, but they are fixing the house now. But the thing is that there was such a tremendous mold exposure that it went into the air conditioning system. So every time the air conditioning came on, it was spewing the mold. So I had to fix that.
Oh, my goodness.
I had
goodness.
To fix everything.
Yeah.
But
you had
people,
to redo the whole house.
I had to redo the whole house. But the thing is that most people don't know that they are having a mold exposure, because my doctor had 70% of her patients, and she's very well known, it's Nancy Klimas and Irma Ray. They, 70% of their patients tested positive for mold, and nobody knew that they had mold in their house that would cause them to become so sick.
Yeah. Well, it's quite a story, Barbara, and I know a lot of people appreciate hearing it.
Well, I think everybody who has Parkinson's symptoms seriously should check their house.
Right.
Very well. You have to have somebody come in that really knows what they're doing, and then you have to stop using chemicals. You know, well, you know, we all, most of us know that, you know.
Yeah, so. Right. No, exactly. And it looks like I might have a question from Trula, so let me check in. Trula, did you have a comment or have a question?
I do. I know that I have an allergy to mold, and I moved out of my home because of it, but I never thought about it provoking Parkinson's symptoms. I did listen to a podcast recently with a woman who had fibromyalgia and discovered it was triggered by mold. But I have a question for Barbara. What kind of medical specialty did she go to get that mold testing? Because I'd like to get tested to see if it's still in my body.
It's Real Time Labs. If you look it up online, Real Time Labs has the urine test. The doctor that I went to was an immunologist. But you have to look, you can look up also online for Schumacher. He's a doctor that researched all this mold issues. And you can read on his website what to do, and they have suggestions for doctors. You have to find a doctor who's trained in, you know, helping people that have had mold exposures. But a lot of people do have Parkinson's, they have MS, they have all kinds of things from mold exposures, but doctors don't know it. And they treat us for Parkinson's and all this stuff for years, and really we're being poisoned every day and we don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. The thing is, once you have those mycotoxins, like I moved out of my house, but I still have those poisons in my body, and I've got to get them out, you know. Very difficult.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Barbara. Schumacher, can you tell me anything more about Schumacher? Like maybe spell the name or give me a first name, too, or where you work?
Richard.
Richard?
His name is Richie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Schumacher, Schumacher. He just has a website, you know, but there's probably doctors in your area that deal with this.
Okay. Thank you so much, Barbara. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And, Barbara, I wanted to make a comment to you. We've talked off and on for a number of years now, and I just want to report that your voice today is much, much stronger and more vibrant than I have heard your voice in the past. And generally health is a function of the voice. So, you know, there are people even, there's a person that I've interviewed on the radio show, Sherry, who does voice profiles, and she can see a lot of what's out of balance in the body just from analyzing the frequencies in the voice. And what I've heard from your discussion today is your voice is stronger today, and that would suggest to me that you are getting better, you are healing.
Well, I'm a lot better than I was when I was living in the house, because at the end, living in the house, I just couldn't even get up off my bed. I had to resort to getting 24-hour aids again.
Right.
But then after I moved out of the house, I'm able to get along without them.
And what a miracle that is in itself. So that's something to celebrate, Barbara. You've made some tough decisions, but you're really benefiting from them now. No question about it. So congratulations to you for making some wonderful decisions
for
yourself.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for connecting in today. It's great to hear from you. And let me check. There's one last person we haven't really been able to connect with. Vonna, are you there? I know you had somebody coming to the door.
I'm
there.
Here.
Hi. Just wanted to say hi. And you had a couple of questions that you submitted that I think I responded to already. So what else is up?
Well, I stepped away from the telephone for 5 seconds when a young lady was talking about no more problems with her gallbladder. For my gallbladder, I have some kind of gallstone in there, which means I should not be eating oil in the first place. In the second place, I'm 5'6 and weigh 100 pounds, so I can't afford to lose a whole lot of weight and do without food.
Right.
So, what was it that she did that helped her gallbladder?
Well, what I... Just to summarize, I think she said she went on a vegan diet, so vegetables, fruits, nuts, and no meat products is what she said. So that apparently was what really made the big difference.
Probably that's the reason I still got my gallstone.
Yeah. So maybe that would help with that particular issue in the long run.
Having to get protein out of vegetables is
difficult. Well, people who are vegetarians, they really have lots of solutions to that. I know they're in beans. There's a lot of proteins and nuts. So if you just add nuts and beans, you can get a lot. You can get the protein that you need. It's just not as concentrated.
Yeah. So anyway. Yeah, I did have my root canals removed in March. And I found out that the permanent bridge would be would consist of the crowns on the teeth.
Oh.
Not really metal, but just crowns on the teeth.
Oh. So no metal.
There's probably some metal in crowns anyway.
Well, actually, there are lots of different composites that can be used for crowns. And there's certainly some glass material that can be used and plastic material. So you can talk with your dentist about making sure that they don't have any metal contained in those.
Yeah.
If that's what your preference is. Yeah, they can. In fact, what I've also discovered in... and having some communications with biologic dentists is they actually have a test that they can run. And the test asks what composite materials are compatible with your body. Because there's a lot of materials that they can use to do fillings and to make crowns with. And that test will say what materials your body can accept. And then once they know that result, then they order crowns that are made out of those materials. So it doesn't have to be guesswork.
Yeah.
And the people, the dentists that I'm aware of that run those tests are called biologic dentists. And in fact, in one of the dentist offices that I was in about a year ago, even before any work was done, they said, well, would you like to pay a little extra money to get this assessment done if it's needed? And I think the cost of it was something like $150. So I know they do have tests that they can run. So instead of just saying you want a composite without metal, you can actually have an assessment to see what your body is compatible with. You know, it might be a material made out of glass or plastic or some combination, and who knows what's going to be compatible. So the test actually apparently says that. So that's another option you might want to consider.
So do you know the name of the test?
I don't know the name. Gosh, you know, it's been about a year since I heard the words. But I think just describing to your dentist, this is a test that examines what material my body would be able to accept, you know, in terms of the composites that are made. And if they don't know the test, then I'm sure other dentists would, especially the biologic dentist. I think that's sort of their standard approach. They always order those tests for their patients.
Yeah.
Well, best of luck on your journey with dental care, Vanna. It sounds like you're making some good decisions for yourself.
Well, you've been a great help. Thank you, Robert. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Vanna. It's an honor and a privilege to be here and to provide whatever support that I can. Well, let me check to see if we've got any more questions that were submitted for me to respond to. And again, for those of you who are wondering, on the left side of your panel, you can just write in a topic or a question that you might want us to discuss. As a reminder, our support group meetings are the last Monday of every month, so it'll be, I believe, the 31st of August for next month at the same time, 12 noon Pacific time. If you have topics that you'd like for us to discuss, please just email me and say, I want to talk about this topic. And not only will I talk about it, but we'll get others to talk about it as well. And if you have questions, just submit those questions. And like we've done today, I'll read the question and then provide whatever comments or research or results that I've got from studying the question. And then, like before, we'll always connect with each person and get the stories of what's up and what's going on, what's working, what's not working, and spread the good word. So it's an honor and a privilege to facilitate these meetings. Thank you so much for supporting Parkinson's recovery. And again, I want to encourage each of you to visit the member websites every day. Make it a habit. Perhaps in the morning, the first thing of your day, check in. You can read the joke, if anything, and laugh out loud. That's the natural way to make dopamine. I have a new trailer that I'm making just yesterday that's all about why laughter out loud is the most effective and the most inexpensive way to manufacture dopamine in your body that's ever been invented. So laughter out loud, it doesn't even have to be a joke that you think is funny. You just have to laugh out loud, believe it or not. So I'm going to release that trailer. You'll find it on the member websites. I'll probably post it on the What's Up from Robert page as well. It'll be a little minute and a half trailer while I'm talking about the value of laughter. It really is profound, and I think most people figure it's kind of silly. Why would laughing out loud make such a big difference? But it really does. I have no research to back this up, but I'm really sure that a good dose of laughter is far, far more effective than taking any pill or any medicine or any supplement that's designed to produce dopamine. So laughter is where it's at. It's natural, it's cheap, it's fun, it's enjoyable, and that's why we post a new joke on the member websites every day. And I have to say, some of the jokes I laugh out loud to when I post them because I think that's a really funny joke. Other jokes I think, well, that's kind of funny, maybe not. But the whole point is you read the joke and you force yourself to laugh out loud. And that's what makes the dopamine. And, of course, if you can tell the joke to a friend or family member and laugh out loud with them, that's even better. So that's one of the purposes of that one page of the 12 pages that are member website pages. The jokes produce dopamine. That's why they are there. And I'll also, in working on this week, a little trailer, in other words, a little minute or two video that describes the value of mind challenges, the way to make new neural networks. So many people believe that, oh, Parkinson's took a long time for me to get it, and it's going to take me a long time to recover. My philosophy now is very different. I think it's really a question of changing the channel. In other words, instead of going down the same neurological pathways, you simply create and access new pathways, and you make it happen now. So when you're in the new pathway, the relief is immediate. And that's the reason for the mind challenges that you'll find on the member website. So we've got a little problem to solve, and there's a second website that is called Mind Work. And every week, there's a little video that I've recorded of some challenges that invite you to use your mind in a different way than you're accustomed to using. And again, that's what forges new neural pathways. So what's the value of that? Well, just think about watching a TV show that's really horrible. And that's akin to perhaps some symptoms that perhaps one day are just really awful. What you're simply doing is you're changing the channel on the TV to watch a program that's interesting and entertaining, and you're basically revitalizing your body to function in a normal way so that you are balanced, you are centered, you are stress-free, and you are happy, which is what life is all about. So may each of you have a wonderful month here during the month of August. Stay as cool as you can if you are here in the western part of the globe. If you're in the eastern part of the globe, please stay warm. And we look forward to connecting with each of you, if not before, 1 week from today, the last Monday of August at 12 noon Pacific time. Of course, you'll get lots of announcements and reminders about our support group meeting then. Thanks to each of you for connecting in and giving us reports on what's up. It's always a pleasure and an honor for me to connect with each of you. And again, thank you so much for basically supporting Parkinson's recovery. The expenses are quite high, and your support helps me be able to pay for the many, many free services, and I subsidize all the rest. So your support is very, very much appreciated. So that's what's happening on the shores of the Puget Sound that are gorgeous today, where all the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and all the children are truly loved. Know that by virtue of the fact you are a Parkinson's recovery member, that you've connected into the program today or listening to the recording, that you indeed are on the road to recovery. Good day.